Everyone, welcome for the weekly discussion in English media. We are going to have about 1 hour today, exactly maybe 1 hour. So before going to the traditional discussion, conventional discussion, if anyone is having anything, remarks, we will take few minutes. Otherwise, as we appointed, we are going to go to Purabheda Sutta, Sutta Nipata. Waiting for anyone's remark.
Avastrai Bhante, we have not received any report for today's session, Bhante.
Okay, thank you, Ari. Yes. We have some remarks, Ari.
Avastrai Sananse. I have one question and, or no, one comment and two questions. One, I heard a little bit talking about the Mula Pariyaya Sutta in the previous Singhala discussion. One thought that I had before and the reason why the bhikkhus did not delight in the sutta was simply because the Buddha said over and over again that his trainees should not delight in anything. And so if they got the message well, then they learned how to not delight. So that's my one comment.
Yeah, we just remember, we were discussing in the Singhala.
Yes, I couldn't understand everything.
Yeah, Venerable Jnanananda says, the language is, he says, dialectical insinuation. Buddha insults the educated people in a very tactful way. So therefore, all educated people negated. All artificial intelligence negated. They are missing the bus. So therefore, they are not happy. The Buddha Gosacharya says, they did not understand the content of the sutta. Venerable Jnananda says, no, they were fully understood. That is why they are discouraged. Because it's a dialectic insinuation. I just checked the English book and the Singhala book. Because I always find people, those who achieved, are very arrogant. These are people well-to-do, they are very arrogant. They are not innocent. I mean, they are, as he mentioned, they are born lucky. They are lucky people. So why should you worry about the small, small things? So when the teachers are coming, they neglect, they don't hear, they don't care. Well, they are usually better off. But those who have fallen down, they are waiting for something, anything is something for them. For the achieved people, something is nothing. They are waiting for top things. There is no such a thing on the Dhamma. So, Sabbadhamma Mula Pariyaya, before going to that, the Buddha says, don't admire earth element. Don't talk about earth element. Don't insert into the, or don't enter into the earth element. So, Acharya says, Buddha goes, Acharya, why should we not be entertained? Not entering into and not talking about, he can understand. He is talking. Why? The Buddha is Nabhinandati. Because Venerable Jnananda is very sarcastic about Venerable Buddha Gosa. And he says, it is because at the end of the sutta, many not understood because everyone was well versed in Tibeda. 500 monks addressed by the sutta is well versed in Tibet, they are grammarian and historian and everything. So Buddha says, everything what you learn is bullshit. So in the retreat I say, it is kakka, shit. All the education is come and says, Venerable Dhammajiva says, I have spent 40 years in education, the headmaster and kind of, he says kakka. So now only I understand shit. I told, I am also from the free education. I was very done education. I was lingering and going. I am not a batch top and the first class. It is jokes for me. I can really understand what happened to my bright girlfriends and the boyfriends. They completely lost. Whole my family is double promotion, double maths. No one went to university. Everyone married and ruined. Still they are living. I am not married. I am still learning. Just like a beginner. Because I am very poor in grammar. Poor in linguistics. I don't care. So therefore when the Buddha is blackguarding these educated people, I feel so happy. Because my from life, right from the beginning, I am learning very seriously. But I consider this as something wrong. So therefore, just I learned the language, thing is dialectical insinuation. The Buddha expressing in such a way, all educated people get shocked. Today, what happened to the world? You see all the educated people, completely inhuman. What they are doing is never for their benefit, never for the environmental benefit, never for the future generation benefit, never for the world benefit. They can't stop it. It is such addiction. So we are born in the third world country and becoming an idiot forest monks, very happy. With example is the universal. So I wrote my Vesak message. It was a happy thing because I expected this. I know this is going to happen. So it is nothing new for me because I am ever alert, ever vigilant, ever diligent. I know whatever the news says and everything is bullshit. Just entertainment. Mind your own business. Be mindful.
Sadhu, Mante, sadhu.
You have anything, America? Give the mic because he was, for the last few days, he was sleepy. He was in jet lag. Now only he's talking.
I liked what you had to say, Bhante, and you too, Bhante. And in the West, you know, we kind of grow up with a lot of things, and you know, we're just kind of born with a lot of stuff, and a lot of people wouldn't believe that, you know, some of us are like on the other side of the world in this like developing country, like living out in the forest and leeches and stuff like. They're like, why would you ever do that? You know, it's you see the impermanence of all conditioned things. And so no matter how much you have, you're just going to lose it in the end. You know?
So till yesterday, I was not happy to talk to him even because he was in jet lag. He was absent-minded. Now he's something sensible.
It takes at least 6 days.
Yeah, I was too much expecting. So yesterday only we talk each other. Then he told I am in the jet lag and kind of, then only I understood because first day I went to UK. I have to give a talk to the UK Army. The Buddhist chaplain organized a trip. On the way, 3 hours, I was sleepy. Way back, it's a 6 hours difference. And even in 3 o'clock, that means here 9 o'clock. So I understood, but I had no chance because soon I get down, I have to give a talk. So I have been to America.
No, but he's coming from LA.
Yeah. And coming and going, next day I come here, I start a retreat. So sometimes while sitting, I fall asleep. When I go to Canada, that organizer told Bhante, please come, don't come to the group sitting because most of the time you are sleeping. It's a wrong example. Then I told, maybe, but still, if I am living in a simple place, single place, I will be too sleepy, but in front, I will be ashamed to see in front of other newcomers, I am sleeping. I don't care, because I have to understand, but jet lag is something physical. Something physical. Soon I went to Ajahn Brahm. He told he was coming from Sydney to Perth and from Perth to Canada. And I have an appointment with me. Then he says, I am in so much of hours in the plane. And immediately he has to give a talk in the science library. An appointment with me. So I had undergone this torturing. So now you have to be an American. Okay. No, we are going to go to the Sutta if there are no any remarks. Then I cordially invite Venerable Buddharagita to continue with the last drop if he is having no any other remarks.
So again, we continue with this Purabeda Sutta, and the audience that the Buddha is addressing are devas and gods. And to do this, he has formed a copy of himself. So you have a kind of a psychic Buddha asking questions of the living, the human Buddha. And in this way, the questions that he's asking are very subtle. So this is a very subtle discussion. So the Buddha says, this is the ninth verse, he says, "He has no dependencies. Having known the Dhamma, he is independent. No craving is found in him for existence or non-existence." So here, "he has no dependencies" is referring to lineage of like sons or adopted sons or like people you're mentoring that you might view as a son, or you know, somebody in your circle that you would view as like have a family relationship with, where you have a very, you know, a deep fond connection for. So he has no dependencies. So in this case, he's implying here that he's like a renunciate. Having known the Dhamma means that he's at least a sotapanna, that he knows the Dhamma, and we can also just mean that he processes everything in life as Dhamma. So he sees things down to their yathabhutadasana, down to the way they really are. So he sees them with wisdom. In this way, having known things, having known the Dhamma, so as a minimum, that he's a person who is mindful, and everything that is arising and passing away, he sees it as arising and passing away, and he sees things as they really are, as impermanent, as anicca, as anatta, as dukkha. And but in an ultimate level, he is enlightened. So he is independent. So again, this is, we normally think of a child as dependent on their family, dependent on their clan, dependent on the world. And then we grow up and we become independent. So then as Thich Nhat Hanh used to emphasize, was that we become interdependent. So here he is independent is referring more to, again, that he's an arahant, that he hasn't got these defilements. So it's not just simply that he has renounced the world, he has renounced family. He's not dependent on anybody. He's not dependent on a monastery. He's not dependent on you know, a king or a community to particularly look after him, but more this spiritual or psychological side, that he is independent, meaning he doesn't have a toxic relationship with other people, he doesn't have expectations, he lives in a way that is abundant, he's not in need, he's not needy, he is independent. But I would also like to add that he's interdependent. He knows how to live with other people, but in this case, he is independent is more in this psychological or spiritual level of that he doesn't he doesn't have a neediness with others, and he knows knowledge and truth for himself. So he's not dependent on any particular teacher or teachings. So he's somebody who has crossed the river and has put aside the raft. He doesn't need to carry it on his head anymore. And the teachings are not a burden anymore. He is independent. No craving is found in him. So this is, again, the second noble truth, that he doesn't have tanha. He is free of tanha. He is free from that craving, from that thirst. He is free from upatana. No craving is found in him. So we all have needs. We need things. But it's when we have a toxic relationship with those things, where we want things, that we run into trouble. So this is a person who doesn't have wanting. So this person still is needs necessities, but it doesn't have a toxic relationship with people or places or things. So there is no craving found in this person. This is a liberated person. And again, in the next sentence, we have for existence or non-existence. So here the Buddha is emphasizing that this person is an arahant because they have gone past anagami. They are free from craving for existence. So this is eternalism. And they are free from craving for non-existence. So this is a nihilism. So again, these are in a way wrong views, but also like a wrong relationship with the world, where we are interbeing, interhave, rather than an eternalist who is seeking rebirth, who you know, views that that the world is eternal, that I go from this life to the next, and that's what they'd like or they want, or they want to die here and be reborn in heaven, or this is the eternalist viewpoint, that they wish to perpetuate, they wish to grow and multiply. And the nihilist thinks that they can escape from the rounds of rebirth by that there is a finish, that we only do this life once, that we that there's no consequence. So an eternalist sees that there is causes, but they don't see effect. So there are people like who think, oh, I can have this and I can do that, and you know, the effect doesn't matter, because you know, they only see the cause. Whereas the nihilist is a person who denies that there's an effect. They deny that. They think that, like, oh, when I die, everything is finished, and that's not true, because life is a cause for rebirth. And whereas the eternalist doesn't understand causes, in the sense that they don't like the nihilist thinks that if I do this, there's no result, whereas the eternalist is like always thinking this eternal thing going on. And this is how most people really think, you know. They think that there's a heaven, or they think that things go on forever, but they don't see that there's a way out, and they don't see that there is cessation. So maybe Mahatero can elaborate for us a little bit on this verse.
I will just recite the Pali stanza. It is named, numbered as 859. Sorry, 860. Yassa niseta natti nyatva dhammang anishito bhavaya vibhavaya va tanha yassa navijyati. The direct translation into Sinhala, if there's a arahant or fully enlightened being, he is having nothing, is baseless. There's no base. There, he is not depending on any base. It's called Nisarana, means that. Nisanise means that. So apatitika. Nisvanadda. And he is having no idea there is an existence. No idea there is no existence. No bhavaya vibhavaya. Therefore, no craving about I will be, or I am eternal. No craving for I am nihilist. There is no such a thing.
because he know everything is impermanent, knowing Dhamma, knowing truth as it is, he is not depending on anything. He is independent, he is sovereign. And when the Nisarnavane was formed, they were searching about a name. They took the Nisarana. Sarana means depending upon. Nisarana means not depending on anything. I find, I was just talking before in Sinhala, we all had an account, opening balance. We were a human being. We were having all the senses. We can talk. We have the basic capacities. And we have earned something, education, money. I mean, we are not beggars. We came to monkhood with certain amount of basic need, basic opening balance. Many of us are above average. And on top of that, we learn the value of morality. We learn the value of the concentration. We learn the value of the wisdom. And some of us gain certain amount of sila, samadhi, panya. So that is the curse. If you are depending on what you gain through the sila, that will be a curse for you. If you gain something as samadhi, I am first jhana earning, I am second jhana earning, that will be a burden for him. And if we get the vipassana, yathabhuta jnana dasane, things as they are, and if we think that I know things as they are, that will be negative for him. Not the accounting balance, opening balance. Opening balance is there. But whatever we gain in terms of sila samadhi panya can boost up your ego. You must be indifferent for them because it's a dhammatha. If you are doing good thing will happen. If you do bad thing will happen. Don't claim this me. Don't claim this as mine and don't claim this as myself. So that part is the lacking in Theravada, and Theravada is the only teaching, only sect, it is teaching that is lost. So therefore don't depend, don't boost, don't brag upon your sila gain, your samadhi gain, your prajna gain. Then you will lose your opening balance also. It will disturb your opening balance also. Therefore you must know how to return to the opening balance, that your pivotal point, that is your benchmark, that is the starting point. On top of that, you had some gain and loss. Don't worry much about them. They are religious. They are spiritual. They are philosophical. But if you are going to brag them upon them, and that is what I appreciate Venerable Dhammika, as a young person, he told, don't brag even telling that you are meditating. Don't brag telling that you are not killing now. Don't brag upon telling that you are not stealing, because you were killing earlier. You were stealing. Don't do it. But don't brag. Then no one knows that you are meditating. No one can disturb you. 8 years I live as a layperson. Stop everything bad, according to my capacity. No one knows. So I was no any distraction. Even my girlfriends do not know. Even my boyfriends do not know. Even my brothers and sisters, they do not know. Relatives do not know. Because I find many people are spiritually bragging. Then I feel very sorry because they may be bragful about their account opening balance. I mean, it's okay. They are both born luckiness. That's okay. You are a male, you are a female, you are healthy, you are having this and that. It's okay. It's an endowment, it's a given thing, basic data. That is true. Whatever you earn in terms of sila samadhi panya, then you are in trouble. Don't depend upon yasa nisseto natti, nisseta natti. Don't say, I am superior in morality, I am superior in samadhi, I am superior in vipassana. That means you don't know vipassana. You are the exactly same old fool. or you are born lucky. Whatever it may be, it's the same. There are some changes, but don't brag. Don't associate bragging people. Don't promote people to brag. Just see, we are just human. Each human are the same. Potential-wise, we are equal. Possibility-wise, we are equal. We have the same potential, same possibility. As far as we know the path, we assimilate tactics to answer these occasional questions, and we dash through along the least frictional path in the non-comfort zone. But I can't share it with him because his opening balance is different. He has to find his own method, but we can discuss. I know the Vittipasa. So that is the path we must get together. This Dhamma is definitely a corrective path and a gainful, but don't brag. So Venerable Jnanarama is a historical person. He took up everything to the monk's life and the monastic life and everything. He's so humble. 25 years he lived here. No one knows. No one allowed to come and talk with him. After the death, there's a huge poster on the Buddhasarana paper telling the carcass is here, you can come and pay respect. Then one person told what the F word you are doing 25 years, you are not allowing him to see. Now you are allowed to come and pay the respect to the carcass. The village monks are better than that. That is his character certificate. So therefore, present day, I know meditation is good, donation is good, sila is good, samadhi is good. But the gain you got is the what? You are proliferating, you are... Rupa Lavanya Ramagad again? Makeup, face lifting, and then on the last one, pharmaceutically, you are polishing, gloss over, everything you are gloss over what you earn, not your opening balance. Opening balance is endowment. Then you are in trouble. Then you are in trouble. So, therefore, don't. We are born lucky. And we became monks, we became Buddhists, lucky. But don't brag about what you earn from the Sila Samadhi Panya, then you are in trouble. That trouble, even a non-meditator can't help you. So they don't know that is fear. So verily, Venerable Analeo says, if you are lucky in meditation, if you gain concentration, 49 misconceptions can happen. If you are born intelligent, 13 misconception can happen. Everyone 62, it is not for normal citizen zone. They are lucky. They don't have any kind of misconception. All the misconception, all the ditti are successful yogis. All the dittis are for intelligent people. Don't brag. Be humble. Be beginner's mind. Just like a beginner, he may be brighter than me or lower than me, but he is having his own basic opening balance, his endowment, that's his character. And I can't deny you, I can't boost it up. That's a given character, it's a given data. So I can fit with him. So today I am associating almost all the spiritual people on the earth. Everyone is bragging. Everyone is bragging, including me. Otherwise, we can't run. That is our motivation. That's the way we get motivated, and that is poisonous. He says, what is the term you use? Not the vicious, poisonous. Toxic. Toxic. This is the only stage we can do away with. We can talk to each other. I am toxic about what I earn because this is my baby. It's my achievement, my strategy, my power line. Hey, I claim it is me and my and myself. So if you are not hitting me, I don't consider you as a friend. You have to tell and back the fellow saying, hey, don't brag, don't boost it up. Because that is the Dhammata. There's nothing you can claim. So this is happening only in Dhamma discussion. So therefore, thank you asking my opinion. So I am trying my best, even with the Kapakaru, or come a newcomer, or my teachers, just to say, I am the same old man. Whatever the Vinaya I learn, whatever the Sutta I learn, I am just a village bumpkin. Same thing. So Venerable Dhammika told, that's very good. You are very, very protected now, because no one can boost you up, put up on the pedestal and whitewashing. No. Nothing, sorry. Still I am trying my best. I associate the best spiritual people on the earth. I am so lucky. But I know next day I can fall down. So therefore don't brag. Yasa nisseta natti. There is no pinning things or supporting things. Everything is impermanent. It's called appatittita, anidassana. So if you feel that this is my pratishtava, that is my foundation, finished, lost. Yasa nisheta anatti, nyatva dhammang anishito. There is no propping thing, there is no prop, there is no jack. You have to earn then and there.
Asaray Bhante, now, I'm not trying to criticize you. You were using all the active language a minute ago, say not to do this, not to do that, and say don't claim. It's agreed. But then again, Bhante, when you happen to come back to the simplicity and to the current moment, and then you have say you feel that you are a saint, but you don't claim it by yourself. You just watch that I have that feeling, and then a minute later, you have this killer sexual urge, you have the erection, you have all the arousals, but you're not shaken. You know you are erected, you have the arousal, you have everything. You don't claim it, you just observe it in the current moment, and say, then a minute later you are so angry and frustrated, but then again you are aware that you are very angry and frustrated. So all the scenarios will be vanished or will be slowed down by itself. So actually the end of the day, you have nothing to claim, like. So there's no way that you don't have to say that, because it's already gone, though. I'm trying to say something, even I'm not able to say that. That's it, Bhante.
So what is it, a statement or criticism, or it's a question?
It's a statement, yeah.
Yeah. So anyone can make that statement on any good or bad behavior. That keep on observing and say, nothing, the things are not disappearing on the earth. Things are mingled up with the other thing. Good things are mingling with the bad thing. Bad things are mingling with good thing. So their identity disappears. You criticize yourself. You criticize other people. You criticize the past and the future. That criticism happening here. The day you stop criticism, things disappear. No, you come to the vitakka, no papancha. Vitakka happens even to the Buddha. Papancha means your proliferation. Mental proliferation, because you are relating with someone. You are relating with the past, relating with the future, relating with the other places. Then you are wandering, daydreaming, fantasizing. You are in a dream world. Dukkha is there. No domanasa. Dukkha is there. And everyone is suffering. Yeah, I've seen Prime Minister Ranil has nothing to say that we have to suffer. We are suffering. We are on the way suffering. But no domanasa, because we expect it. Because we are disciple of the Buddha. This is anicca. We are expecting from the government or the rain from the Western country, then a disappointment. No disappointment, because we know it. So therefore, dukkha is there. Dukkha disappears moment domanasa, mental suffering is disappeared. But the people proliferate mental suffering more than the dukkha. Mental proliferation is their own baby. They suffer according to their proliferation. They suffer due to the lack of radical reflection. So we have to share each other. You can reflect and worry and daydream and fantasize. That indicates your foolishness. So much so suffering. Equally, if you are not doing, dukkha is dukkha. Your account balance, opening balance is there. But you are not making mental proliferation and daydreaming and fantasizing and artificial intelligence, nothing. So I am not going to deny suffering. I am not going to deny our opening balance. We have our hard and crux opening balance. But upon that, we are always mentally proliferating. That is because of our civilization. That is because of our plurality. When you become here and now, there is nothing to explain, nothing to justify, nothing to ask pardon. We are not suffering enough. We are not independent enough. So therefore, whatever we do, I have to relate to someone. Then, good and bad, just and unjust, everything can come. But you are living here and now. No necessity. But I am telling that all the time, you can't live here and now. But I am telling Buddha has given the opportunity. He says how to nullify everything. Come here now I am. Nothing to explain. No one is going to purify you. God is not there. I am that. I am here now. So then I will be suffer. But no mental proliferation, no mental suffering. Mental suffering part is the one we are gloss over. We are proliferating. We are cosmetics. For the what we are expressing, the reality is reality. We never discuss about that. We are so poor in common sense. It's the most uncommon thing. Our account balance is a common thing. We are talking about what to gain, how to explain, what to do the next, when we lost. But still the discussion is good. Yes?
Excuse me, Bhante, I have a question. So Bhante has spoken about how...
Shout up.
Bhante has spoken about how this present moment mindfulness is the best way to cut off the mental proliferation. And therefore the mental dukkha that comes on top of the dukkha that's already here. My question is, Bhante, what makes the Lord Buddha's Saddhamma different from other teachings that also teach this present moment mindfulness? Because other teachings will also say, if you are just here and now, then there is no suffering and you don't have to worry. So what is it that makes the Buddha Dhamma different?
So other people say, I am saved by another person. Savior is outside. Not here and now. Jesus Christ never say, he says God Father. But Mary Magdalene says, here and now. Mary Magdalene gospel is cancelled. Jesus Christ came. And the God, my old power, God, you betrayed me. Remember? At the cross. If at all that word is not there, his character is utterly pure. Last minute says, oh God, Father, did you betrayed me? Finish. So that part even Buddhists do not understand. The Advaita Vedanta, they accept Brahma. So that is why Bhikkhu Bodhi told, don't misunderstand thinking Advaita Vedanta is Sannidhasana Vinyane or Appatitita Vinyane. We had a long discussion in New Jersey from 9 to 12 o'clock, everything reported. And then I had very little understanding about the Advaita. Then I started reading. And now I can understand how Adi Shankar mingled this up. He learned well Buddhism. He learned very good grammar. And he told, Brahma has two facets, without character and with character. With character is the only one we can talk. Nidassana. Sure. Without character, is it with the soul or not? not answered. With characters, it's soul. So as far as you have a character, you are connected to the soul and you are doing already mistakes. Without characters, in between in-breath and out-breath, no character, Nibbana. But you never recognize yourself with that. And in the Zen, not in this life. You understand?
Not in this life.
Yes.
Meaning extending it further.
Whatever may be, listen. Listen, that is why you Pandita Sahaja Dos book, in this life itself. Nisaranvani constitution, in this very life. So these things Buddhists do not know. They do not know even Advaita Vedanta. They do not know even Zen Buddhism. They do not know in between the in-breath and out-breath. They consider it as a confusion. They consider it's a place where the language is losing. They feel it's a psychological situation. It's an autism range. They come to the autistic signals. They go to psychiatrist. Meditation may send to madness. Because they don't know Advaita Vedanta. They don't know Zen. So I am sure I don't know Advaita Vedanta. I am learning. I am learning from the Sri Lankan people explaining the Advaita. That's why I am taking time for Sanskrit language, just to see. But luckily, Upandita Sahaja took two lectures. If you are listening to Advaita Vedanta, you will throw away the Tripitaka because it is so lucid, so lucrative, but misleading. I am sorry, I am not criticizing. I have no any malice about the Hinduism. But I am learning, because I am learning after 30 years of my monkhood. Because nothing, no one in the Nisaranvani talk about them. They say it's a heretic, don't talk. But when Jnanananda, he has taken it. Because Bodhi got it. And people whacked him next day with so much of articles. Because Bodhi do not know. Buddha also talk about Anidasana Vijnana. How can you disclaim it? Advaita also talking about Advaita Vedanta. Advaita Vedanta talk about the non-characteristic. That is called Nirguna. So these parts. That is why Rajneesh. You know Rajneesh Osho? I am sorry. He says, once you go to the maximum Theravada, you can understand Mahayana. When you go to the maximum Mahayana, you can understand Tantrism. At the end of Tantrism, also you can have Nibbana. I think you know. Have you done this Mahayana and Tantrism? No? Tantric meditation? Tantric? No. Because that the Theravada people so closed. They don't know what is the Advaita Vedanta is. And yoga meditation sometimes is taken completely commercialized. Completely commercialized. They never talk about in this life itself. I am not telling that by taking in this life itself, in this life itself, in this life itself, mantra, you are going to Nibbana. No, I am not telling like that. That's why Dhammika Sahaja told Bhante, please teach mindfulness, but don't talk about the jhana and maggapala, because these lay people are completely misunderstanding it. Ultimately, they will commit suicide. They are not jokes, but not impossible, not impractical. So you have to slowly, every what you gain, you have to neglect. Whatever you earn, you have to neglect. You have to disclaim. Advance, marching on. So this is the way I am day by day getting energized, because I am becoming a simple citizen John. Gain nothing. And when the newcomer happens, I just come and ask. I told again and again that he participated for the monks' retreat. They came nothing. And the first day they told, what does it mean by mindfulness? How do you know that you are mindful or not? And the second day he told, sometimes I feel like I'm mindful in sitting. I feel like I'm walking and mindful. Then I told, when you go to the Pirivena, you know Pirivena? The Buddhist teaching, please teach how did you comes to know the mindfulness. Don't talk about Abhidhamma. Don't talk about the Paticca Samuppada. They are nonsense. How did you? You are a teacher. A signed teacher, legitimate teacher, but you don't know. Now you know. That's most important. And that's the Buddha. Buddha is teaching something possible. Don't talk about what is on the air. I am not, I am that. Read the book, a series of I Am That by Nisargadatta Maharaj. That's God, Almighty God. You are just a creature. No, Buddha is not a creature. He don't ask us to be creature. He says you are the creator of ignorance. Creator of ignorance. Creator of craving. You create your craving, you create your tanha, and fighting, no, I am not you, you are creator, I am a different creator. My creation is my ignorance. My creation is my tanha, so whatever you create, it's not for your well-being. I don't know whether I shouted at you or answered your question.
So I'd like to reread it again in a more present way rather than all the philosophical way that we've been talking about. So because he is mindful, he knows things the way they really are. Because he knows things the way they really are, he is free from dependency. And because he's free from dependency, he doesn't rely on anything. For him, there is no craving for existence or non-existence. So again, he's talking about the present moment. So here you can see in how we practice Vipassana that when we're with the breath, when we're immersed into the breath, when we're when the subject and the object are one, and when the mind is bright and vigilant, then we know things the way they really are, and then we're free from dependency on anything, we're not relying on anything, and we no longer crave for future existences, or we don't crave for annihilation. We are present to the causes, and we also understand that there's an effect. So in every moment, with every breath arising, there is the arising of causes and conditions, and with the cessation of the breath, there is the cessation of the causes and conditions. So people who are eternalist, they tend to see the arising of the breath, but they fail to see the extinguishing of the breath. They fail to see the cessation. So they think that everything is eternal. And the nihilists, they see the cessation, but they fail to see the causes, that cessation of the breath is itself going to be the cause of the next arising of a breath. So you have to see the breath beginning, middle, and end. And by seeing that breath beginning, middle, and end, moment after moment, breath after breath, there's a continuity of practice and a momentum that builds. So in this way, we know things as they really are, moment by moment, breath by breath. And in this way, we become free from dependency. So again, samatha practitioners are dependent on their object. They're covering the object. They cover the defilements. Whereas, again, with insight and vipassana, you see the defilements. They inform you. And so there is no good or bad. There's just Dhamma. There's just things arising and passing away. And we're free from and independent from defilements. We're free from and independent from wrong views, wrong attitudes, and so forth. So when we say dependency, we're independent of craving and we're independent of views. So we're not relying on anything. We're not relying on our views. I am a Buddhist, I am a Christian, I am wealthy, I am poor. We're not relying on these views, we're not relying on these cravings. So this is how we come to a cessation from craving, and with the cessation of craving arises this the exit. So we're not bound to rebirth. I hope that maybe gives you a different perspective again on the same verse.
I don't think different perspective, whatever may be, this is philosophy. This is not day-to-day activities, because Bodhi also try to put with the Nidesa, because when you are talking about, nothing talk about Sila, Samadhi, Panya, not practical, they are talking philosophy.
Well, the next
The next verse is Sila Samadhi
Prajna. Sila Samadhi Prajna, looking from there, from the Buddha's point of view, achieved person point of view. So therefore, this is not a basic instruction for the newcomer. This is telling, whenever you are successful in meditating, there's a trap. Be careful. I mean, successful people only go to the Nibbana, eh? But there's a trap bragging, claiming, or proliferating. So therefore, we have to get together and let others know. I will tell what I thought. The others will say, this much you are bragging. This much your achievement. Likewise, that only a practitioner can see the other practitioner's mistake. Buddha is not there. Non-practitioners are not in the boat. So we have to be very open and discuss. And I'm happy, Jnanananda, he gives so much of perspectives in his other book, The Concept and Reality. And we discussed that in Singhala just before. And now we come to this one, and Purabeda Sutta, it says Buddha is asking from another Buddha, because this is not addressing to the common being. Common beings are always with the bread and butter. They are worried about the petrol and gas and rain and everything. But this is philosophy. So therefore, this philosophy is for the achieved people, born lucky people. They are arrogant. Monks are also the same. We have to be very humble. When we become more and more successful, we have to always think about the beginner's mind. Always think about the newcomers. The day I became a monk, the day I renounced, and the day I met my teacher. And how humble I was. And soon the teacher is not there, I take the upper seat and take the fan and start giving talks. And there's a special the understanding, what happened to the Chinese masters now, Chinese political leaders, what happened to the American political leaders, they are living in a dream world. And completely play hell. Not good for their health, not good for the humanity. But many people, they are not taken away, they are carried away by these kind of, because they are not so lucky. We have to earn our bread. So therefore this humbleness, coming back, only talking and sharing in Theravada tradition. Every other thing considered as a pure good, praiseworthy. No, be careful. Your success is a sign where you can start bragging, it's me, it's mine, it's myself. So we practitioners must air our views. Other must be mercilessly criticized, because we are the only people, we are the people carrying the Dhamma, living Dhamma. And I'm so happy, after the 70s, I was so open to this, I met so much of innocent people, simple living, high thinking. They are well-earned people and very well-to-do people, but they never looked down me because I was a killer, I was a robber, I was a everything. They have no problem. You can come and share with us. Ultimately, I feel so grateful because at that time I was a robust young man, a revolutionary young man. But I got a chance, but I am a robust young man. Still, I am very dangerous because I feel like I am gaining. When I was diabetic and when I had the corona and when I had the pneumonia, I was little humble and going to the hospital and says, otherwise I said, I never go to the hospital, I never take medicine, I never take vitamin and kind of thing. But when it happened, I said, never mind that as far as platelets are less, we have to take vitamins and kind of thing. So someone has to come and throw you. Otherwise, no. So I cordially invite all the other practitioners, please do open trump game, not the partner clause. You know partner clause? Playing cards with the partner clause? No? And the open trumps? You have to ask your partner, you close, I will gain. So I am throw away. Do you know card games? Play cards?
Never heard of that.
You are not human.
No, younger generation.
No, not younger. The playing cards was so so happy. And you have a partner close. You say it's, we two, they are one party, we are two party, four people.
Oh, right.
Huh? No, bridge is the biggest in the partner of this thing, but you have Omi Balanova, 304 Balanova, that we especially in the Singhalese New Year period, we are happy, our grains are in these bins, and we are happy and rain, we are playing cards. So their partner close means you are the person, he says, I will beat both of them, you close your hand. Open trump means I am telling for everyone, this is the trump, there is no hidden. So present day American trump like. So this is partner close, no partner close. Here the disciple has to teach the teacher. Teacher has to decide the disciple. And our co-practitioners must be so open. There is no personal attack. Many people take it as personal, now I don't care. I just trash. And then I find later they will understand, because I have no personal dealings. If at all, they are, that is my right mistake. So therefore, whenever we are gaining, please see the Mahanidana Sutta, how much it is disturbing us whenever our experiment, our research, gaining the results. Finished. You become so arrogant. So Ukraine is good. The putting is hitting and hitting and hitting. So they have to humble themselves. Okay, now we can get only 1 or 2 minutes, not more. If anyone is having any remarks.
I was trying to come up with a clear idea of how to explain this again on the eternalism and nihilism. And so the nihilist doesn't understand effect, and the eternalist doesn't understand the causes. So in Buddhism, again, we have this, you have to understand cause and effect. And so the eternalist thinks that, if I'm a Christian, if I'm a member of this God party, then I automatically become, purified, and I'm entitled to go to heaven, and I'm entitled to good things. Whereas the eternalist, the nihilist, will say, whatever I do now doesn't matter. You know, if I enjoy myself now, I just live this life now, then it doesn't matter, because after I'm dead, there's no effect. So as long as I'm not punished, I got away with it, there's no effect. So this is a denial of cause and effect. Both parties don't understand cause and effect. So again, this dependent origination, and again in Buddhism, this emphasis on causation, dependent causation, you can have dependent origination in reverse, where we have dependent cessation. And so these are, like, again, fundamental teachings to Buddhism, which is this profound insight, a practical or a moment-by-moment insight into the nature of cause and effect. And that is knowing things as they really are, whereas eternalists think that things go on forever, and nihilists think that things end with this very life. And so this is not just wrong view, but it's also a kind of a craving. Both are types of craving, and both are cravings that are ceased once one becomes goes from anagami to arahant. So this is a very deep verse we've been dealing with today again, and very philosophical on one hand, but also just very practical. If you know it in a moment-by-moment sense, it's a very simple sort of verse. But to explain this very simple nature of momentary awareness, it's deeply philosophical. So it depends. If you have the direct touch, you know what he's talking about. If you have the intellect, you think you know what he's talking about. But this verse is not found in any other teaching. It's not found in any other teaching. It's not found in Vedanta. It's not found in Christianity. And it's not found in science. So you have to see that for yourself.
Okay. For the Pindapata, we have to wind up the discussion. Thank you very much for the participation. So we are in the 860 stanza. next week, next discussion we will take 860 first one. Thank you for the participation.